From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of December 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Later in the program, Matt Bennett will join us. Matt's way out west in Wichita, Kansas today, and he'll tell us a little bit about the cash grain situation both there and here in Illinois. And along the way, we'll check the weather forecast with Mike Tenura from T-Stern Weather in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn down 3.25 cents today at $3.65.5. The March at 3.76¾, down 1¾, and May at 3.82.5, 2 cents lower. July 3.87, down 2¼, and December corn of next year, 1½ cents lower today at $3.90.5. Soybeans, January up 6¼, finished at $8.84¼. The March at 8.98¾, up 6¼, and May 9.13¼, 6½ higher. July up 6¾ at 9.26¾, and November beans at 9.33, 3¾ of a cent higher. The bean oil futures up 2 cents at 30.29. Bean meal $4.90 higher at $299.50. July soft red winter wheat at $5.30, down 2¾. The hard red July at $4.49¾, down a nickel for the day. Live cattle futures up 47.5 in the lead December at $119.92.5. February there, $124.60 per 100 pounds, up 42.5 cents. Feeder cattle were lower. Nearby January at 140.55, down 32.5, and the March down 27.5 cents at $141.15. December lean hogs down 30 at 61.57.5. February at 67.57.5, 85 cents lower. Energy's trading the crude oil up 6 cents. Ethanol futures about 0.3 cents higher. Heating oil 1¢ higher, and gasoline up nearly 2 cents for the day. Natural gas up 2¾ cents. The Dow is down about 8 points. The U.S. dollar down 0.232. And the gold futures at $1,475.70, $1.70 higher. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace in Chicago and discuss what's happened there and what his expectations are going into the end of the year. Good afternoon to you. How are things in Waco today?
Well, we're doing fine, Todd. I'm actually down in the Rio Grande Valley now. We got a beautiful day down here in the 70s, and everybody's out buzzing around.
Well, let's see if we can't get you there. Actually, you're on Commodity Week today. We'll record that at 3 o'clock, so we can't get you there for about an hour or so, maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah, I know. After Commodity Week, I'm going to hit the men's club. There's no doubt about that.
So. That'll be fun. I'll bet we'll have fun on Commodity Week as well. But let's kind of get some precursors put in place here for that program. Let's start with soybeans. They've been up for a couple of days. Is there any indication as to why they had kind of a rough run of it for the last couple of weeks otherwise?
Well, there's been a couple issues I think you can probably attribute the strength to. I mean, number one, we are terribly oversold. I mean, we've been that way for about 3 weeks running. This market just kept kind of grinding lower. And so the technical indicators got extremely oversold here by the end of last week. So that's why this week we started to find some stabilization. And then yesterday we saw the market pop higher. And then today we saw that extended. Now, from a technical perspective, we did trigger some technical buy signals. Most of the indicators now are going to be in the buy mode. So if you're a technician momentum trader, you might look at buying the breaks. Now, December is a hard month to trade, but from a pure technical perspective, I would see that the technical guys would probably be willing to kind of be stepping in here, buying the break here, and seeing whether or not we can get a meaningful retracement going off of the high that we posted back in October to the low that we had here last week, earlier this week, and see if we can get some kind of retracement going. Just looking at the January beans, it looks like you know, most technicians would probably kind of look for maybe a return back to the $9 area, give or take, you know, a nickel or so. That would probably be the initial upside target. And of course, you know, our last trade today here was 885. So, you know, there does look like there's 15 to 20 cent push in here if something would kind of get going. But other than that, from a fundamental front, there are Argentina weather is not necessarily perfect. And then I did understand, I think there's some Argentina grain company must be in some kind of financial trouble or something. And I heard that they had to buy a bunch of contracts back this morning. It was one of those get me out type deal. And that's what gave us an initial burst of strength here shortly after the regular session opened. So those are the two kind of factors. I, you know, like I said, this is December is a hard month to trade, but looking at the price action, the type of decline that we've had, it kind of looks like maybe harvest pressure is over with for a while. So, you know, I guess, you know, it's all about seeing whether or not demand will pick up and whether or not, you know, weather issues continue to build in the south of the south. Southern hemisphere. But I guess I'm would be looking at the charts and the stuff that I'm looking at. I guess I would at least look for soybeans to begin to level out here for the month of December, and still would not rule out some kind of rally as we go in toward the end of the year on soybeans.
What about with the corn market?
Well, the corn market, you got December in the delivery period. Demand is just absolutely non-existent, at least in the export market situation. Our sales were like a 500,000 tons, I think, this week. That is way, way, way below what we need to be. And, you know, as far as the year-to-date sales were, well behind any kind of averages, or I think even behind what USDA is even projecting. So that's a key negative. Corn, I suppose, you know, I don't know what the trade's really looking for in December report next week. I don't think we're going to see anything major because I don't think they really have anything new to share. Now, some of them, they might get a peek at some of the early returns on the December 1st, you know, stocks number. But the problem with this December 1st stocks number is there's so much grain that was unharvested when USDA was taking this survey. So I'm not too optimistic that we're going to see any major changes even in the January report, because there's just no way to double check USDA's numbers that they issued in November, because they can't back out of anything with so much grain still out in the field. So it may be a while before we, you know, get some good solid numbers. But, you know, the numbers what we have is what the trade's going to have to live on. We're seeing some downward adjustment in overall world wheat supplies, but nothing really significant. But we are seeing some downward adjustment in that. So it's kind of finish out this year and then wait around for the January final, see if that changes anything, gives the market a surprise or two. And then we're going to start focusing on the 2020 prospects. You know, the acreage estimates are already out there that, you know, bean acres are going to come back, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 million. Corn acres are probably going to go up 3 to 5 million. Again, depending upon what the spring planting season is, we'll have to wait around for that. But I would say the best thing that we could do at the moment is try to find a bottom into this market and start trading sideways. And then once we start trading sideways and the end users know that the market's not going to go down anymore, then all of a sudden they begin to start accumulating inventory, and then that would provide some underlying support to the complex and maybe even give us a rally or so as we go down the road after the first of the year.
It sounds like you're expecting for a fairly dull, unless that's something happens on the trade front, winter season then.
Yeah, we just got too much supply of stuff. And when you have an excess supply of inventory, you pretty much have to wait on something to shock the world numbers. And at this point in time, it's going to have to come from the South American weather issues or Southern Hemisphere weather issues and or a surprise in a trade deal or trade activity. We don't have to have a trade deal to find export demand. I think some people think that we got to have a trade deal. We don't need to have a trade deal. All we need to do is have export demand begin to pick up. And that could begin to pick up after the first of the year.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Have a nice afternoon.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you for Commodity Week fairly shortly.
Okay. Take care.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, joins us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. And he'll be back at about 3 o'clock, at least for the recording of Commodity Week today, along with Aaron Curtis of Midco, Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, Joe Vaklavic from Standard Grain as well will be there. Our Commodity Week program should be up on the website by about 5:30, 6 o'clock tonight. You can hear it on our home station tomorrow, many of these radio stations otherwise over the week. Hey, have you registered yet for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits? Registration, or at least early registration, closes next Monday, so do it right now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, or just visit our website, willag.org. All the information and the links are there as well. I'll be traveling the week of December the 16th with the agricultural economists, including Gary Schnitke, Todd Hubb, Scott Irwin, Nick Paulson will be there. Ryan Batts will be along with us, and it should be a great day. Dale Latz will be there, too. You can hear all about the agricultural economy in the state of Illinois, what the expectations look like for 2020. You'll want to be in the audience, so be registered today. We'll be in Mount Vernon on the 16th, that's Monday, and then we'll travel to Springfield, East Peoria, DeKalb, and back to Champaign on Friday of that week. So one each day of the week. It's a half-day event. Wraps up at the noon hour with your meal. The cost is just $80. Sign-up closes on Monday, so get yourself registered today for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Now, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mike Tenura is here. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Great being here, Todd. I hope you're having a great day.
I am. Let's turn our attention really to South America first. Can you start in Argentina and give me an update of what conditions are like there?
Well, they've been pretty dry for a while, and the dryness is not typical of what we would see in a major drought, in that it's only a localized pocket of dryness. But the important thing about it is that it's centered on Buenos Aires, and that's the number one corn producer, the number one sunflower producer, and the number one wheat producer. And it also extends into nearby areas of Cordoba and Santa Fe, and those are the number two and three producers. So even though it's not a real big drought, it's kind of just centered on the right spot. If you think about it this way, pretend Illinois had a severe drought and it was touching parts of Missouri, Iowa, and Indiana. It's kind of the same thing we have here. It's not huge. It's not affecting the entire country or anything like that, but it's just in the spot where most of the crops are produced. And the way it looks going forward is that it's going to be pretty dry region-wide over the next week, so nothing happening for a little bit because of areas of high pressure. Then we get about a week and 10 days out from now, and we'll see a storm system or two move through. But everything that we're looking at suggests that the humidity levels are going to be too dry or too low to produce much rain in Buenos Aires. So we'll be dealing with the same story once we get into the middle of the month. The reason this is important is because sunflowers are planted pretty early. That starts in September and goes into October. And it's similar for the first crop corn that they have. And so we're going to be turning sensitive over the last half of the month. And with these dry conditions in place, you have to start paying a little more attention to it.
How are crop conditions in Brazil?
Well, compared to where they were a year ago, it's much, much drier now than it was back then. There are rains in the forecast, and that's probably the one difference that we have versus a year ago. And we are going to see some decent rainfall in the key areas of Goiás and Mato Grosso, which is where about 40 to 45% of soybeans are produced. And we did see rain to the south of those two states over the last 24 hours. And so that's taking some of the dryness pressure off. But all of that being said, they have been drier than they were in recent years at this point in time. And because of that, we just need to see these rains continue. It's not like we got dumped on back in October or November and we can ride that out for a little while. We just haven't really been seeing big rains over the long period of time. So things right now are stable there, but they could still change one way or the other, especially depending on what happens about 10 to 14 days out and then even beyond that. It does look a little bit drier in the central areas of Brazil, which again is where a lot of the soybeans are produced. But with all the rains coming up between now and then, it's kind of a waiting game in Brazil.
Here in the United States, harvest remains. Will producers be able to continue this week and next week?
Well, for the next few days, it looks pretty fantastic. High temperatures way above normal in the 40s and 50s, and dry across most of the central United States, so not much happening in the near term. This all, though, is being preceded by what's going to be a major pattern change on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. At that point in time, we'll see an Arctic front blast onto the south, and that will turn in much more wintry around the central U.S. from early next week forward. So don't get used to the way it is now. Just go outside and enjoy it, because it is going to come to a rather marked end here in not too long. We should see some rain and snow in Michigan and Wisconsin on Sunday night through Monday night. And that's important because that's where some of the corn is still sitting out there in the fields. We still have a lot of corn also in North Dakota. The problem there is that it snowed a lot last week. And now, even though it's not snowing at the moment, that snow is melting because of mild temperatures, so it's still pretty muddy. Again, once we get beyond the next few days, though, things aren't looking quite as good because of what we just talked about. And then there's more systems out there beyond that. Illinois and points to the north and east are going to need to keep watching the weather, because there are some chances for snowfall starting up not only early next week, but in about 7 to 10 days out, too.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. That's Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Matt Bennett is here. He's way out west, not on the farm here in Illinois or in his office in Windsor. Hey, thanks for being with us. Where are you today?
Yeah, I'm in Wichita. There's a farm show out here, and, you know, I got hired to come out here and speak, so I'm over here talking about markets. Definitely a little bit of a drive to get over here, but you know, there's a nice little crowd, and it's kind of the kickoff, I think, for farm show season, at least for me.
Yeah. So what are you going to tell folks in that part of the world? Because you're way out west, and the cash grain situation's got to be a little different out there.
Yeah, it's different. But even out here, their basis is, you know, better than what they've seen at times, most of the times in the past. So historically speaking, they're still in pretty darn good shape. I think one interesting thing out here, you know, is just a continued reduction of wheat acreage. And so, you know, moving forward, you know, where are those acres going to go to? And, you know, most of the indications I get is that they're probably going to trend towards corn. And so it's going to be very interesting next year to see what kind of acres we come in at with all these prevent plant acres coming in. So that's something we're definitely going to touch on.
Yeah, for those folks who are trying to think about where Wichita, Kansas is, it's to the south and west of Kansas City. It's really in the bottom third of Kansas. Not quite dead center of the state, but pretty close. So that's roughly where you are. And if I remember correctly, they do both a lot of wheat and soybeans. I don't know about what corn acres look like there, though.
Well, they're talking about increasing, but yeah, there's definitely quite a few soybean acres in this part of the world. You know, there's a fair amount of wheat acres, but I do think that some of those acres are going to be, you know, subsiding somewhat, just simply due to a couple of different things this year. Weather had a lot to do with it. And then second of all, of course, profit margins.
Now, talking a little bit about what's happening here at home, what does the cash grain situation look like? And more importantly, are producers, do you think, in need of moving grain before the end of the year? Or did that MFP check that arrived in the mail take care of most of their end-of-the-year expense needs?
Well, I think what it did, it certainly gave them a little more flexibility to be able to hold off. But at the same time, you got to understand that the producer's going to have to make a decision at some point, because the market knows a lot of those bushels are going to be showing up here at the first of the year. And so, you know, is the basis going to get better whenever we know that the bushels are going to show up? And the most likely answer is no. And so if they expect a further pop in basis, it's probably going to have to be after you get through the initial glut there at the start of the year. So I would look for something maybe over the holiday potentially, because a lot of times, you know, grain movement slows down just a bit. But other than that, I really can't see much happening here for, you know, the next maybe 8 to 10 weeks.
If you've got corn in the bin, not in commercial storage, but in on farm, are you willing to do a basis contract and wait to be paid in January if need be?
My personal opinion, if I've got corn in the bin at home, is that I want to keep that intact. You know, it's kind of leverage for me. Because the bottom line, these posted bids, you know, have been pretty darn good. But, you know, the push above the posted bids actually been pretty impressive in some places as well. So core in your bins is one thing. But as far as emptying your bins out to take advantage of a good basis, I'm not sure that I'm ready to do that quite yet. I'd look for, you know, potentially some excitement, especially in the cash market there at the first of the year. I think that January report could hold some surprises that could potentially help us get out of the doldrums a little bit.
Any advice on soybeans?
You know, on soybeans, boy, they've gotten beat up lately. I feel like they've gotten oversold enough. Got a bounce today. We saw some support hold this week. And so I would like to think that the bean market has gone down enough for now. Whether I'm looking for a big rally or not, it's going to be dependent upon whether Argentina stays dry. Can we get this trade deal put together or not? And, you know, there's no really easy answers for either one of those things. So at this stage of the game, I'm probably a little more friendly corn than what I would be soybeans.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. Came to us from Wichita, Kansas today, where he's at a trade show. Just one quick update of something that Dan Zwicker mentioned earlier. And I don't know whether these are quite related, but Reuters is reporting that an Argentine soy crushing giant, Vicentin, or maybe Vicentin, is struggling to repay over $350 million in debt and seeking to restructure its economic obligations due to an economic slowdown in the country. The grain crusher, Argentine's top exporter of processed soy last year, according to government data, said it had been hurt by increasing financing costs, rising country risk, and was looking at how to meet its obligations. We'll be watching that story, of course, right here on Illinois Public Media. As we close out our time together, I'd like to remind you to visit our website at willag.org. You can listen to all of our ag programming there. You can also find the way to register for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Those start the 16th of this month, and registration actually closes next Monday. The cost of this event, the IFES, or Illinois Farm Economics Summits, is just $80 if you pre-register for it. Walk-ins are welcome, but we sure would like to know that you're coming. Again, registration closes next Monday. We'll be traveling the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th to Mount Vernon, Springfield, East Peoria, DeKalb, and then back here to Champaign. Catch up with myself and the ag economist from the U of I. Sure would love to see you there so you can get yourself set for the 2020 growing season. The Illinois Farm Economic Summit's an annual event that you won't want to miss.